I didn't listen to music for all of those years, and it was mainly sports radio, talk radio, and I would absorb music if I went out with friends to a bar or hung out with people. So some of the big hits, of course, I just absorbed them and knew what they were, but it was very rare for music to really resonate with me, for something that I would seek out. Like, I never had an iPod.
Okay.
I had an MP3 player back when we called them MP3 players,
Yeah.
and it held about 10 songs, and I probably used it a couple of dozen times and just never listened to it again. It was just not something that was a part of my life, and I feel like part of that was because, and you asked me who I am or to tell
Yeah.
you about myself. I was always someone who was very guarded emotionally,
Okay.
and music is an emotional and a religious experience, right? It's
Absolutely.
something that at every show I'm going to get goosebumps. At
Yeah.
every show, there's going to be a moment where I can't sing along or talk to the person next to me because I'm like choking up. This is the experience. This is just the most incredible moment of my day or my week, and there's nothing that can compare with that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Let's Sing Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. We are getting off the Bruce train tonight, though I'm sure he will come up, as he often does. We are doing a B-side episode. Scott is joining me, and I will be very disappointed if this doesn't turn out to be awesome. Because he and I just spent about 10 minutes talking before I hit record. And he is the one who said, okay, we should hold off. Some of this needs to be on the show. So, Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Jesse, thank you so much for having me. And I'm going to start by saying that one of my favorite things about being on podcasts, including my own, is the intro. So I love watching that read, that lead in. So seems
Oh.
like you've got it down. Thank you for the introduction, though. I appreciate being here.
Thank you. I was telling this story the other day. We had some friends over, and we're gonna go on a tangent right away. We had some friends that grew up. Their father worked for a company that basically did food service for the military, and they were stationed in Germany. And we were talking about you couldn't watch American TV because there was no English TV, but they're talking about Armed Forces Radio. And I remember there was this guy that did a show and he pre-taped his introduction. He because he had it's the same introduction every time, and he played it, and he said that way he knew the show was starting off at the right pace. Like, I'm out of the chute, correct. And I was telling him, I always thought that was interesting. And I tend to do the same introduction every time. In fact, we talked before. Do you have other people besides Bruce? I go, yeah. And I do the same thing. We're getting off the Bruce train. And but I'm sure he'll come up because he often does. And about every so often, I don't know, every 20th, every 30th, I just fuck it up totally. Just and the other thing is my friends love it because when I'm doing Next Stop Everywhere, which is my Doctor Who podcast, or I do a John Hyatt podcast, or I do a Babylon 5 podcast, and they'll go, "You forgot what podcast you're doing, weren't you, Jesse?" Yes. Yes, I did. Thank you, man, for joining me, and thank you for the kind words about the intro. Tell me a little about yourself.
All right. I live in Chicago. I just mentioned that to you a few minutes
Yeah.
ago. I grew up in a very rural part of Illinois, about just only 2 hours away from Chicago, but it is a very different world. And I'd imagine that living in Dallas, that you've got the same thing, is that there's
Yes.
more conservative, more liberal, larger, smaller. And I grew up as an outcast, I would say. I don't know that other people would necessarily have looked at me and said outcast, but I did not feel comfortable growing up in the cornfields of Illinois.
Okay.
And that was always my goal, to grow up, get out of there, move to Chicago. I was a big Cubs fan, Bears fan, Bulls fan. I say Bears and Bulls, but really it was the Cubs. That was my thing my whole life. And
Yeah.
that will actually come up in my musical journey that we'll talk about in a little bit, is I think the Cubs even played a role in that. But yeah, so I've been in Chicago for 20 some years right now. I have my own podcast. I will throw that out there, called Positively Terrible, and we'll make sure that comes up a little bit later. Not going to get too deep into that right now. But yeah, I've been on for the last 8 years now, this kind of musical journey, like I said a moment ago. And one of the things that people find very interesting is that I always tell people, between 2001 and 2016, I did not listen to music. And I'm going to pause because that's when people react.
Yes.
Do you have any questions about that, Jesse?
Yeah, what was going on? Was it a conscious decision or?
No, not at all. I graduated college in 2001, and I will say that in college and in high school and everything, I listened to music, more or less mainstream, big radio hits, all of that type of stuff. And when I got out of college, I will say that I didn't know how to find music. Nothing that was being played on the radio was really resonating with me at that point. I do love classic rock. Now we're calling stuff that I grew up with in the 90s classic rock,
Yes.
but I grew up listening to a lot of oldies and classic rock, and everything from the 60s through the 90s. There was so much great music that I listened to. And then when I got out of college, I think I just got that age where, for me, things weren't resonating with me. And the new, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we're talk radio in the car.
I would listen to a lot of talk radio, mostly sports radio, with
Okay.
a little bit of NPR sprinkled in there.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, with sports radio, is I listen to it more out of just how ridiculous it is. I
Okay.
don't find it to be all that compelling from like the content, that being like really good. It's the fans calling in and being angry that their team lost yesterday, that I honestly find that to be hilarious. I think that sports bring, are something that bring fun into my life. And I don't
Yeah.
believe in the dwelling on the bad or being pissed off over a game or a season. I just like the fun side. So they win and my day's better. They lose, who gives a shit? It's one game.
That is pretty interesting. I go back and forth. Some days I listen to music in the car. Other days, I do a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And then I have the sports station that I listen to here is The Ticket. And they do very few call-ins. This is where they do a lot of bits and fake characters and they have a lot of fun. And so they just hit their 30th anniversary. And we talk about my son's 34. And when I would take him to school in the fifth, third, fourth, fifth grade, we made a deal that we listened to Kid Craddock in the morning on the way there, which was like 106.1, had FM, all the pop hits. And then we would listen to The Ticket on the way home. And we worked that way. And so now then, he has literally grown up with The Ticket. And so, yeah, I had one of the best moments of last year was he's living at home. He's saving money to buy a house. And so when the Rangers went on their playoff run, we got to watch every game together.
Oh, very nice.
And because of the stupid Bally Sports, we had not watched any regular season games because we can't get Bally's and it's just this whole thing. And the playoffs, all of a sudden, it's on a channel we could get. And we're like, we know none of these players. But hopefully it's a long enough run that we're going to get to know some of them.
Yeah.
And as a Cub fan, I know the pain, but it was we when the Rangers clinched the World Series, we stared at each other. I can't believe this is happening. And it was just something, it was just, it's just, there's just something magical about that playoff baseball and that long runs. And it
For
just,
sure.
it's, yeah, it's great.
For sure. And we've got the same here is WGN growing up, which is a super station. Everyone in the country could watch the Cubs, or just about everyone
Yeah.
in the country could watch the Cubs. And now I live in Chicago and don't want to pay the money for cable. So I haven't watched a Cubs game from my home in 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
And I've really lost touch with the team. And that's been replaced by music to a large part.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. It's been a hell of a musical journey. And as I was saying, I didn't listen to music for all of those years. And it was mainly sports radio, talk radio. And I would absorb music if I went out with friends to a bar or hung out with people. So some of the big hits, of course, I just absorbed them and knew what they were. But it was very rare for music to really resonate with me, for something that I would seek out. Like, I never had an iPod.
Okay.
I had an MP3 player back when we called them MP3 players,
Yeah.
and it held about 10 songs, and I probably used it a couple of dozen times and just never listened to it again. It was just not something that was a part of my life. And I feel like part of that was because, and you asked me who I am or to tell
Yeah.
you about myself. I was always someone who was very guarded emotionally.
Okay.
And music is an emotional and a religious experience, right? It's
Absolutely.
something that at every show, I'm going to get goosebumps. At
Yeah.
every show, there's going to be a moment where I can't sing along or talk to the person next to me because I'm like choking up. This is the experience. This is just the most incredible moment of my day or my week. And there's nothing that can compare with that.
During that time period, no live music then either. No shows.
And I'm not going to say no shows. But the shows that I saw were generally very big bands who I was a fan of when I was younger.
Okay.
So one of the first, like, really important music experiences for me was in 2013, I think it was, when Pearl Jam played at Wrigley Field.
Okay.
Back in the 90s, I was junior high school.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam was my band.
Sure.
And when they went, the tickets went on sale, Wrigley Field, and for anyone who doesn't know, that's where the Cubs play their games.
Right.
They didn't have concerts up until probably 2010, 2012. When I went online to Ticketmaster, when those tickets went on sale, I researched how to get tickets. Like, how do I game the system? Is there a way for me to actually get these? Because I figured Wrigley Field, Pearl Jam, these are going to sell out in a heartbeat.
Sure.
And I went to the website and I logged. Actually, what I did is I refreshed the page. And if it went on sale at 10 a.m., I refreshed it at 10 a.m. in 8 seconds, according to the world clock, because that was the advice I found, that Ticketmaster's clocks were 8 seconds different than the world clock. And there's a website where you can see the world clock or whatever. So I went in there, I refreshed right at that time, and it put me into the waiting room. And then 30 seconds later, it refreshed, and bing, I'm in. 30 seconds. I was prepared for my whole morning to be trying to
Yeah.
get Pearl Jam tickets, and I got tickets on the field. So, that's a big field. All sporting venues are pretty big fields. So,
Sure.
on the day of the concert, I get there, we go to our seats, and a woman comes up to us and says, "This is going to sound weird, but will you trade seats with me?" And she says, "My tickets are way up there, but I want to sit next to my friend, and nobody up there is going to trade to move back and let them move up. So will you move up? Just trade tickets with me." So we're on the field already, and we end up trading seats and move up like 30 rows forward. and 15 rows or seats more towards the center. So
Wow.
we were ended up in the in an area that was like first row behind the pit. So the
Okay.
first seated row, and everyone there had been to like 30 Pearl Jam concerts. Everyone, nobody around us was from Chicago. They were all traveled because they're just the people who follow Pearl Jam
Yeah,
around.
there. I know that I have a wonderful friend is a huge Pearl Jam fan, and Wendy talked about being in the fan club. You earn points and things to get sales, which was one of the criticisms that Bruce had last year when his tickets went on sale, is
Oh,
he's
yeah, I
never
remember
had
that.
that kind of thought. All right, so I'm going to put a pin in this discussion. And I will come back to what was the Road to Damascus moment that
Okay.
brought you back to music. But we're going to tease that, listeners. In fact, we're going to go back to Scott. You're growing up in the cornfields.
Yeah.
What kind of music were your family listening to? What was a young Scott listening to?
I almost wanted to interject when you were talking about with your kid. It sounds like you negotiated some airtime for what you're listening to. And in my household, we did not get to negotiate for any of the music that we
Yeah.
wanted to listen to. So I always joke that when I meet people my age who don't know oldies and classic rock, that they were spoiled because that meant that their parents did not control the radio station in the car. We listened to the oldies station. It was 96.5. The Beach Boys were one that I loved when I was a kid. I listened to classic rock as well. I'm trying to think. My dad had a bunch of records that I would listen to, and we weren't like a big music household, but my dad was definitely the music fan, and he had some vinyl, and I would listen to, there were some Elvis records even that I listened to. There was the Beach Boys. It was just a lot of music that was from before I was born. The Beatles, a lot of the stuff that was played on the radio. And if I'm being honest, I recognize a lot of songs that I don't know who sang them, like Jan and Dean. I know there are a few songs that I liked that I always thought, I think I got those confused with the Beach Boys back in the day. There's a little
Sure.
bit of a similar sound there. Go
Surf
ahead.
City was written by Brian Wilson.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yes.
So it makes sense, though. I believe that there was a day when I realized that Jan and Dean were a different band. And then there was a lot of the music that was coming out in the early 80s, the Michael Jackson. We'd always go to my grandma's house. My grandma had MTV in my little house in the cornfield. We did not have MTV. So when the Thriller video was popular, we'd go to grandma's and just sit in front of the TV with MTV on, waiting for Thriller to play. So there was, it was just the music of the time and back further. I'm sorry, I know I phrased that kind of awkwardly, but between 60s and 80s, there was a heck of a lot of music that we listened to. And then there was classic rock as well. So my dad wasn't big into it, so it wasn't as much listening with him. The Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, bands like that, I was always into. But again, I was never like super passionate about music at that time. I liked it. I listened to it, but it was more about having the radio on and hearing what was coming out of my speakers than putting a cassette tape in or later a CD.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
So share a little bit. I grew up in a house that I guess I wasn't spoiled because we listened to country and Western, both kinds of music, as the Blues Brothers said. Okay. And in fact, I've told this story 1,000 times, but it's true. I was visiting my cousins in Ohio, and this would probably be 10, 11, it's 68, 69. Mm-hmm. And they were shocked I could not name all four Beatles.
Really?
Because the only Beatles I knew was the cartoon show that had just barely started, because we listened to Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard country radio. So I often say there's two kinds of people that join me. The people that embraced their parents' music. Mm-hmm. And then as they got older, they expanded and found other music, and others that rejected their parents' music. And then when they're 30, go, oh, this guy, Johnny Cash, might have something, right? This Eric Clapton, gosh, he might have a little something. Yeah. That's interesting. So let's go back. You're on a not deliberate musical famine or
hiatus.
You're not doing that for any political reasons. It's just the nature. Mm-hmm. So I often say, and here's the connection, right? I will ask my guest, Scott, can you remember when you first heard Bruce Springsteen and what about his music spoke to you? Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn this around. Scott, can you remember, was there a moment that actually woken for the first time a passion about music that just wasn't something that on the radio was there as background noise?
Absolutely. And it was December of 2016.
Okay.
And my now ex-wife was always someone who was a big fan of music, and she was a big Bruce fan, and we actually did see him together at Wrigley Field. But she...
on my list of what I'd love to see. Yeah.
it was great. She knew me. And a lot of the music that I would hear that I would like, it's not like I would never find a song that I liked during those 15 years, but I'd hear it, I'd be like, oh, I like this, and then never listen to it again. And she had a good sense for that. And one day she gave me three bands. One is a solo performer named Sean James. One was Left Lane Cruiser. And the third was a band called the Hooten Hollers. And these are little indie bands. They're all what I used to refer to as Southern. So I like music that it has like blues influence that has some country influence, southern rock I like. So I never really had the language to figure out what genres these were. But and I guess the genres are so they overlap so much that I still struggle to describe them. But Left Lane Cruiser, I would say, is like this raw DIY dirty blues rock. And it's a two-man band. They are loud, they're fun, and I really it spoke to me. And Sean James is this extremely soulful singer, and he's a rock guy. He's got at the time the music that he was doing, he had a solo project with him and a violin player. And then he also had a loud rock band called Sean James and the Shapeshifters. And I listened to these three bands and I was like, I like this. I want more. So I started Googling these three bands, and believe it or not, like at this time, I didn't know that these little bands even toured, right? I'm just like, I didn't know anything about this world. And believe it or not, when I Googled them, all three of them were playing this little festival in Chicago. Like it's a
Wow.
festival that was at a bar. It's a bar that has like a rock venue that holds 200, 300 people on one side, and then the bar side holds 100 people. And this festival called Moonrunners would have one band play in the rock venue, and then when they were done, they'd have a band play in the bar. So you didn't miss anything. You could just walk from one side to the other, and if you didn't care about the band that was playing, you just go do whatever the hell you want. And all three of these bands were playing this festival in May of the following year. It's December, and it's 6 months later, I'm going to get to see these three bands that suddenly have me like absolutely obsessed with music. And I start just Googling, like, where are they playing? Okay, so I find out the common venues that these three bands play. So then I start looking at the other performers that play at these venues. And I would look at the tours that these bands were going on and find the bands that would tour with them play. It was just this really special kind of year, probably, where I might listen to 30, 40, 50 different bands in a weekend just trying to find like the new one. And it was an obsession for a while. And it was this incredible thing to feel music for the first time that I could really remember.
And do you think it's because just you had not found music that spoke to you before this? Why do you think you went from this passive to being much more, and I don't want to use the word aggressive, you adventurous in finding this, that you are open to that. Why do you think that switch flipped?
There were a few reasons,
Okay.
and I thought about this a lot, and I believe I've pinpointed it. One
Okay, good.
is that I didn't know this world existed. I thought rock was dead.
Okay, sure.
Right? I thought that everything good that was ever made had been made, and with the exception of the occasional song that would come out that I'd like, and I might listen to the band, might not, but usually I listen to the band and they had one song I liked. But at this time, I found out that there was music that wasn't your mainstream stuff that just didn't resonate with me, right?
Okay.
I didn't know it existed. And I said that I'd loop back to the Cubs.
You sure?
2016 is the year the Cubs won the World Series.
Okay.
From the time I was a child, I thought that someday my dad would take me to a World Series game at Wrigley Field. In 2016, I took my dad. He didn't take me. I took my dad to the
Nice.
first World Series game at Wrigley Field in his lifetime. And I was at the game, like you just mentioned, when the Rangers clinched. I was at the game when the Cubs clinched the World Series. Clinched,
Wow.
not the World Series, the NLCS. Clinched to go to the World Series.
Right.
October of 2016 was the most emotional month of my life. And I was always repressing that side of myself. I was always very, I don't know, I don't want to say stoic. That's probably not the right word, but I just didn't let myself feel a lot of things. And being able to go to all these games in the playoffs, go to the World Series, take my dad, like when the game that the Cubs clinched the NLCS to go to the World Series, I remember it ended so quickly. It ended on a double play. So it's not like there's two strikes, two out, and the crowd's on their feet. It was just a ground ball, a third base. They turn a double play. I jump up. I turn it to the person next to me, and I just hugged this kid. And to this day, I feel bad because it was like this 16-year-old kid that was sitting next to me. And I say I feel bad, that it was my natural reaction. Holy shit, they're going to the World Series. I hugged this kid, and his dad was on the other side of him. And it was like, did I just take this like moment away from his dad? But it was just such an emotional thing. And then to be able to take my dad, and the World Series that year started in Cleveland. The first games were in Cleveland, not Chicago. I was walking around Wrigley Field because, as I tell people, I just wanted to be there. I just wanted to be near the stadium. And I'm walking down Waveland Avenue, and that's past the left field wall in Wrigley Field, and I see a suitcase. And I'm like, I say to my, again, now ex-wife, I said, we're stopping. And she's, what? I was like, look. And she's, what? I was like, it's a suitcase. And she's, so? I was like, the Cubs are going to the World Series. They're starting tomorrow. That means that the team is going to be here very soon to leave for the World Series. So we stood there for the next couple of hours while the Cubs just kept pulling up, getting out of their cars, walking in. We were the first people there, but then there's hundreds of people who are just cheering all the Cubs players as they're walking and dropping or getting into the bus. And it was this just magical moment. And everything about that month, I get to live that every year on Facebook, when my Facebook memories. And I'm not a Facebooker, but I have that. And every October, I can't wait for it. And I let myself feel for the first time in a long time. And it was good. It was something special. And I think that there was that, the letting myself feel, but there is also the fact that it was time to move on. My whole life, like when I was a kid, I was obsessed with baseball. That was like the only thing that was important to me.
Okay.
So to get to the point where I've got season tickets, I'm going to get to see the playoffs. I got to see the World Series. The Cubs won it for the first time in 108 years. I got what I paid for. I got what I came for. And now it was time to move on. And I'm still a Cubs fan, but I have opened up since then and taken on new interests. And when those bands were recommended to me and it resonated with me, and then I start finding band after band that I like, it had started this obsession. And then what I will say too, with this little scene, what was really cool is the accessibility, the hanging out with the members of these bands. Like I mentioned, Left Lane Cruiser was one of the three bands. There was a show I was at where the singer sat down at the bar next to me while the opening act was playing. And I was just like, hey, you're Freddie. I think that's his name. I can't even remember at this point.
Yeah.
But he's like, and we talked, and I told him this story, and he said, give me your phone. So I gave him my phone, and he starts like going into my notes app and writing down bands that I should listen to.
Wow.
And it's, holy shit, man. This was like, and they're a small band. There was 40 people at the show, but I loved them. And the fact that I sat down and for the whole 40 minutes of the opening act or whatever, I was talking to one of the performers was just this incredible experience that I didn't know that was there to be had.
Yeah, I didn't quite have that experience, but we moved to Dallas in 86. Okay. My wife and I got married in 84. We moved in Dallas 86. The economy in Louisiana was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And so we're living in a big city for the first time. And we had a friend, Rick loved music. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife at the time, Jennifer, Lynn and I would go to these different small venues to hear bands. And we discovered a lady named Sarah Hickman,
Okay.
who has become a friend. She was signed for Elektra for two albums and dropped, and she actually was the official Texas musician a few years ago. She's never had wide scale success. She's made a living making music. Brave Combo, which is a rock and roll polka band from Denton,
Okay.
Texas.
Okay.
And so these other small bands we go to, and one of the things we joked about, but we're serious, is love going see Billy Joel. Billy Joel puts on a great show. Billy Joe doesn't come back after the show. Hi, Jesse. Thanks for coming out tonight. Brave Combo, Carl Finch, the lead singer, comes out and goes, "Hey, Jesse, thanks for
Yeah.
coming out and seeing us." Right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so there is that joy of seeing these musicians that are having a blast, doing a play, playing, they're having fun, and you're also, you see some of the same people at every show. Like, you're like, "Oh, hey, how's things going?"
Yeah, without a doubt.
My buddy Sam was a huge Drive-By Truckers fan before they had gotten really big.
Yeah.
And so when Jason Isbell left and started doing his solo stuff, he was talking to a bunch of people that go to all the Drive-By Truckers shows, and they said, "This is good news for us because now we might get two releases a year instead of just one," right? Because they're both putting in music.
Right.
And I just love that, right? The sense of the smaller community and the being there helping the band. I absolutely understand what you're saying, Scott.
Yeah. And it's funny that there's one performer, a guy named John Moreland, who people say that he has a voice like Bruce. And again, I'm sorry to all your fans that I'm not like a Bruce fan.
Yeah, that's okay.
But John sounds his voice. He does some Bruce covers, does an incredible job. And I'm friends with his cousin.
What's the name of
And
the artist?
it's John Moreland.
Okay.
And I'm friends with his cousin. And one time they invited me to his show, and I'd never heard of him at that point.
Yeah.
And I went, and there's 30 people at the bar, and my friend and I would go in the green room before and after the show, hang out with them. Now he's too big for that. Not
Yeah.
too big for that. His cousin will still go to the green room, but I'm not fighting through all of that. And
Yeah.
he is an incredible performer. And there was a few years back, GQ called him the new face of folk music.
Okay.
So he had a spread in GQ and everything and got big. He was on the Tonight Show, not the Tonight Show. I can't remember which one of those late shows, right?
Yeah.
And I know this guy. He'd probably recognize me because of the 4 or 5 times that I've been in the green room with him. And it's just an experience you can't get with the bigger bands. And that's okay. Both of them have a place, right? Like you mentioned Billy Joel. I can't believe that when I was telling you my childhood music that I didn't mention Billy Joel.
Okay.
Fucking loved Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And I saw him at Wrigley Field too. The Joys. So when the Pearl Jam concert, I didn't have season tickets yet, but for Bruce, for Billy Joel, for Tom Petty, Foo Fighters, I had season tickets. So actually I had priority to be able to get the
Yeah.
tickets for those shows. So I've been to a lot of shows at Wrigley, and it's just such a special experience to be in that arena. Arena, and it's not an arena, but to be in that place.
Yeah. So I'm now curious, when we get to the married question, did you listen to John Moreland's cover Thunder Road, or did you
No.
listen to Bruce's version?
I didn't listen to John's version and honestly didn't know he had a version of it,
I
even though
just
I know
Googled it and found that, and I'm like, oh,
that.
so yeah.
No, I did
I
not
will
listen
be
to it.
listening to this when we finish talking.
Okay. A lot of what John does, at least in his earlier, he was more of just the singer-songwriter on stage with his guitar and maybe another guitarist. So most of the things that he would do was really stripped down. Now he plays with a full band, so I'm curious whether or not he did a stripped down version of Thunder Road or with the full band, because I'd imagine both would be just amazing. Because one of the things of listening to Thunder Road, and I'm not really familiar with it, and actually a lot of the songs that I know of Bruce's is just they're powerful. I don't really know the words. It's like there's a lot of climax in the song. It feels like the climax is most of the song, or at least a good portion of it. And that's one of the things that, even though I'm not like a big Bruce fan, that's one of the things I really appreciate about him.
I will send you a link. I was telling you about my buddy did a he sent me a list of about 9 or 10 indie bands covering Bruce. So I'll send you, it's a Spotify playlist. I'll send that to you so you could just see what his thoughts of it. And that was fun for me to hear that. Okay, you've reawoken this love. You've thrown out your net very wide. But in your email to me, you mentioned there are a couple that have risen to the top. So let's talk about some of your, and I know you love all your people, but is there a few that kind of speak to you that have risen to the top?
Jesse, it's going to be hard,
Okay.
and I'm excited to talk about it though. I get
I'm
super
excited.
excited and passionate. One of the bands I'm wearing the t-shirt right now, I live my life in band t-shirts at this point, is a performer
Absolutely.
called Amigo the Devil.
Okay.
And I flew to Denver to see him at Red Rocks this past year. And
Nice.
what an incredible experience. It's my second time to go there to see it. And it's funny, both times I went there, the main act was the same band, but both times I went for the opening act.
Okay.
So Amigo the Devil is, he's the same. Like I said about John, he was like stripped down, but now has a, but Amigo's first albums that he put out were just him and his guitar or his banjo.
Okay.
Sometimes he'd switch in the middle of a song. And he didn't even have an album out when I went to see him. He was at that same music festival, just a different year. But when I saw the list of performers that were performing, there's one named Amigo the Devil. I looked him up, listened to a song or two, didn't really pull me in the way other bands did. But at the festival, all of the other performers would say things like, "Man, I can't believe Amigo the Devil's here." And this dude didn't even have an album out, but and people were
Wow.
saying that. And he told at Red Rocks, he told this really cool story about how he couldn't get booked anywhere. So what he would do is he would play sets in the bathroom at festivals. And word started getting out. So he'd put up like, "I'll be playing at 8 o'clock at this bathroom." And that's how people started to know him. And his genre is like horror folk or murder folk, and a lot of the stuff he does is funny. There's Dahmer Does Hollywood is the name of a song
Yeah.
about Jeffrey Dahmer. So he's got a lot of songs about serial killers. But he's got a song that I know one of the things you like to ask about is like, what song do you really want to hear? And
Yeah.
there's this song called Cocaine and Abel that Amigo the Devil did. And it was the
Okay.
first like real album that he put out. And the lead song, very first track he releases, it's the first track on the album, is called Cocaine and Abel. And I cried. It was
Yeah.
just so lyrically powerful. This is a man who packs a ton of emotion into his music, and a ton of humor, and a ton of wordplay. I love wordplay. That's one of my favorite things, is like puns and things in music. And to see a person who didn't have an album out, who had 8,000 followers on Facebook, which is good for your normal person,
Yeah.
when I first saw him, to playing at Red Rocks and having most of the crowd singing along. Like the crowd was there for him. Like he was the opener, but so many people were there to see him. And my friends who live in Denver and went with me had never heard of him. But by the end, they're like, I would have stayed and just watched another hour of that.
Wow, that's great.
At the end, like, he choked up talking about how special this was for him. And I choked up with him. It's such a cool thing to see these bands. And there's been a handful of them that started off and were pretty small when I found them. And now they're small compared to The Boss.
Yeah.
But they've gone from 10,000 followers on Facebook to 50 or 100,000. And they're touring all the time. And it's just such a special thing to feel like I'm on that journey with them. So that's the first one, Amigo the Devil. The second one is Poor Man's Poison. And so there's two bands that are, I would consider, that are like in this genre, or I shouldn't say in this genre, because there's a lot of different types of music in this little world, in this scene, but they all tour together and play the same venues and all that stuff. But
okay.
Poor Man's Poison has, they have bluegrass like instrumentation, but a lot of their music is not bluegrass. It's hard to even define them. And okay. I've got what I think is a really cool tattoo, like two thirds or half done right now, that is based off of the cover art from their albums. And what is special about them is they broke up in 2014 or something. I don't even know. It was before I started listening to music. And then in 2019, their Facebook became active, and they're like, hey, we don't know why this is happening, but suddenly the number of streams that our music is getting is going nuts. So we're going to make music again. And they have not toured. They're spread out around the country, but every year they'll put out a couple of singles. They haven't put out a full length album, but they'll put out some singles here and there. And I swear everyone, in my opinion, is better than the last. And
wow.
It's some of the most incredible music. And I think what it turned out being is people on TikTok were using their music, and that's how they started gaining momentum. And then the third band that I'm going to mention is another one that I haven't seen. And
okay.
Jesse, I bought tickets to see them today.
Yes.
They haven't toured since 2017. They're playing four shows, two in Portland and one in Seattle. I have a very good friend in Seattle. Just like 2 months ago, I said, I will go anywhere in the world if they ever schedule another show. And I missed the tickets for Seattle. I didn't get tickets for Seattle. Today, they added a show in Portland. And that's close enough that she and I are, I'm going to fly to Seattle. We're going to drive to Portland and we're going to watch them. And then we're going to go to a Mariners game while I'm there. And it's going to be a hell of a weekend.
Yeah. And
this band is extremely special to me. In 2017 or 2018, I saw a post from their lead singer that says, hey, I need money. They're a small DIY band. They consider themselves a punk band, but I would say that they've got an album that I would consider like jazzy punk, which is really cool. They've got some stuff that I'd say is just alternative rock, maybe.
Yeah.
And then stuff that is like straight up like what you think of when you think punk. And he posted and said, I need to buy a flight to Detroit and I will write songs for you. $50. I'm like, okay, I've got $50. And I emailed him and had him write a song for my wife, my ex-wife, about our meeting. And what I will tell you right now is that my marriage ended in just spectacularly. She had secret lives. There was a man who I met who said that she was his fiance. And there's another man who told me that they're moving to North Carolina together.
Wow.
Things were, this is actually what made me start my podcast, is that I needed to talk. And so I took that song and made it the theme song to my podcast. So the theme to my podcast is a song by the singer of one of my favorite bands. And it's me taking it back, right? It was a gift to someone who hurt me. And now it's something that the most frequent question we get about my podcast is, what the hell is that song? I love that song. And it's really cool that this band who, again, they're a band I'm an actual fan of. They're not buddies. I love them. They have not toured since I first found them in 2018, 2017. Yeah, it was 2017 because they haven't toured since then. And I can't fucking wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And I just want to shake Rob's hand.
All right. What's the song? What's the name of the song?
The song is called The Spree. Now, you won't find it anywhere. We are going to put it on Patreon someday, but we've never really gotten our Patreon up because we're because I'm responsible for it. And sometimes I just don't do the things that I need to do. But yeah, so it's called The Spree. And the reason it's called The Spree is because when I met her, I offered her a piece of candy, a spree.
Okay.
And it's great. The lyrics are our story. And it was very meaningful at the time. And now it's very meaningful for a different reason. And I just can't fucking wait to just go up and say, Rob, you don't remember me, I'm sure, but you wrote this song for me. And it's the podcast. It's my theme song for my podcast now.
And remind me the name of the band.
The Taxpayers.
The Taxpayers. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And it's again, these experiences that I never fucking knew were out there, and they're so meaningful. And songs, if I don't get choked up at a concert, the band isn't any good.
Right.
So in general, and I mean that from Pearl Jam to maybe I didn't get choked up when I went to Rage Against the Machine last year. Cause that, that was more about banging my head, but just the music in itself can do that to me. But then the experiences are just things that I never, ever knew that I could have. And it's so fucking cool.
Scott, there was a little bit of controversy this last tour that Bruce was not changing the set list as much as he normally did.
Okay.
And then there was a whole discussion on he actually, in past tours, they wouldn't change the set list that much. People just thought they did. But during the last few tours, he was changing it more often.
Okay.
And there was this whole discussion of because this 2023 tour, it was almost the same set every night with maybe one different song.
Sure.
And that's some people were upset. Wait a minute, I've been sold a bill of goods. I bought multiple shows to the show and I'm going to hear the same show every time. And I have not seen Bruce enough to be tired of seeing him live. I think I'm at 19 shows and counting. Okay. But I had a guest said that the set list is like the final score of a sporting match. It doesn't tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cubs win 3-2 against the Cardinals.
Right.
But that doesn't tell you everything. And so I think that's it, right? I think the idea of the song you may hear, the context, where you are in your life. I know that one of my family members was struggling a little bit. And so we had talked and I had played a couple songs and one of them was Land of Hope and Dreams by Bruce. And in that song, there's lyrics, faith will be rewarded, right? And this train is for brokenhearted. And after we had discussed this and I played it for them, they felt a little better. So the next time I saw Bruce and he went into that song, the tears just started coming because I had that emotional remembrance. So I have a slightly chicken shit question to ask you. Rage Against the Machines, Pearl Jam, how the hell aren't you a Bruce fan? You've got all the bands around.
Jesse, everyone says that. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, it hasn't resonated with me the way it does with other people. And
I get that.
That's one of the weird things. And one of the beautiful things about music, though. And
yeah, it is.
I'll say that there are times when I'm so fucking excited about a song and I just want to share it with everyone. And being someone who wasn't into music for a long time, yeah, and then getting into music and getting into music listening to small indie bands, I had to quickly learn that music just hits differently with different people, because it was such a disappointing thing to be like, oh my God, have you heard this song? And to have like most people not show any interest in the music I was listening.
So if this is a bad idea, I'll cut it out. But what I'd love to do is I'd love for you to send me 10 song playlists from the three bands you mentioned. Just mix and match. Doesn't have to be three of each. Just whatever you want. 10 songs that you go, these have been emotional to me. And then I will listen. And then I will return the favor. I will send you 10 Springsteen songs.
Yeah.
Or 10 Jason Isbell songs. He's my other obsession right now that I'm spending time with. And we'll have you back on and we'll discuss each other's list.
We can, for sure. And what I will say is that Jason Isbell, I'm familiar with him.
Yeah.
I feel like I should really like him. He's a great follow on like Twitter and stuff.
Oh, I love. He is so full of snark.
Yeah.
And he will quickly tell somebody who's this quote unquote conservative and just shut up and saying, I don't want your money. Go away. I don't want you to be my fan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have a ton of respect for the man.
Yeah.
I have listened here and there. I've listened to some Drive-By Truckers. I've listened to some of his solo stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. It just never ends up in my rotation for whatever reason. It's it's right there. It's like,
exactly.
And I listen to a lot of, like I said, Southern. I like to call it Southern, but Americana, roots, country, alt country. When I say country, get that pop shit out of my face.
I know what you're saying.
I like Southern rock. I like blues heavy rock. So much music that is like Southern influenced. At least I feel like that those are Southern influence. Even bluegrass. There's Trampled by Turtles is a bluegrass band who has been like the main act at both times I've gone to Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And I actually really like them, but would not travel to Red Rocks just for them.
Yeah.
And there's just so much music out there. Some of it just grabs me. Some of it I like. And I'd say Jason Isbell is that. I like it. And maybe I would love for you to include Jason Isbell on that. Because there's probably stuff that I just haven't gotten to that would really pull me in.
Yeah, what I had a similar experience. I bought tickets to see him in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize he was not the headliner.
Okay.
He was opening for the Turnpike Troubadours.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
And so I stuck around. I watched Jason, loved his hour 10-minute set, then stayed and liked them. I didn't, it wasn't like it's painful. Oh, I can't stand it. It was just like they were pretty good, just not. And it is something, of course, I'm controversial. I don't like Jungle Land, which is many people will say is one of Bruce's most epic songs. Okay. I adore the sax solo. That's absolutely amazing. But it's just the song doesn't speak to me emotionally. And I want a song that speaks to me emotionally.
Yeah, exactly.
We have spent some time together and I knew we would. But before I let you go, we got to talk a little bit about the podcast. Are you still good on time?
Yeah, I'm good on time. I'd love to. When you say talk about the podcast, are you offering me the opportunity to talk about mine? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, we're saying that. Yes, I want to know. So talk to me. What is the podcast? What's your elevator pitch? And tell me how you decided to do this and why you did. One, to get to change the feeling about a less than successful relationship.
Yeah. So the podcast is called Positively Terrible. And it is about making thriving after trauma, making things great, using, not necessarily using your trauma, but oftentimes using your trauma to propel you forward into something better.
Okay.
And when I discovered my wife's shenanigans, my buddy, I said to a friend, I was like, this is like a Lifetime movie. And he said, we should make a podcast because it's something he always wanted to do. And I said, you know what? I can't do that. Not because I couldn't talk about it, but because first, I didn't think, how far can you go with a podcast about a relationship? An episode, two episodes, three episodes. But more importantly to me is, regardless of what she did, I felt that I could not have a podcast that she played such a big role in, because she clearly has something that's not okay.
Right.
She's, whether it's narcissism or borderline personality or sociopath, all of these words that other people have thrown out and suggested she could be. I don't want to do that. I'm not a therapist. I don't know who, right, what she is, but I couldn't have a podcast where it was, even if it was my story, where it is a large role is someone that has something that I believe has something that's wrong with them. And so I said no. But during that time, I was telling people my story. And most of the time throughout my life, if something happened, if I felt like I failed at something, I would just run away from it. I wouldn't tell people. It would be a shame that's inside of me that would just eat at me forever. And this was too big of a shame, right? I'm from a family that, you know, most people hadn't been divorced. Most of my family, my parents are together. Most of my aunts and uncles, it's just, it's not that common of a thing in my family. And this wasn't just divorce. This was, reflecting back, I was abused. And I was telling people, though, in my personal life, because I couldn't hold this one in. And literally within 3 days of this happening, I told someone who was a friend of a friend, or a friend who told her friend, and I knew her friend, not well, but I knew her, and she called me to tell me about how her marriage was and how her ex-husband was electronically monitoring her and was stalking her after she left. And she wasn't sharing that with other people, but once she heard my story, she shared it with me. And I told so many different people my story and had them respond with, this happened to me. And it, what might not have been relationship stuff, but it was traumas that they had been through. They were being vulnerable for the first time with me because I was vulnerable with them. And I learned very rapidly that there is a need to change the way that we view mental health and the way we talk about things. And not feeling shame about the things that happen in our lives. So I went back to Dan and said, okay, let's do this. And I hate it. I hate the fact. I love words. I find myself to be, that's my most creative place. He named the podcast Positively Terrible. He threw that out there. I hate that I didn't name it. I think it's such a great fucking name. I really
do. It is.
And it says what we are, and grabs your attention, but it's something that I had to wait till the divorce to launch it. The divorce took longer than it should have. I shouldn't say longer, but COVID slowed things down. But also, I wasn't ready to file immediately. I kicked her out, but I needed time because I was like, am I going to lose my house? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
So I wanted to have a normal rest of my year. And then I filed. So then the divorce took another year. And my lawyer was like, do not release this until the divorce is over. So I didn't.
Yeah.
And so we just released in 2023. In May, we've got like 36 episodes out. I hate to use the word excited, but I have to, because the episode that we're releasing tomorrow, and I'm sure, you know, it'll be in the past by the time you release this, but is a woman who was just an incredible human being that was in the library at Columbine High School.
Wow.
When it happened.
Yeah.
And her talking about her experience and telling us that she was under a desk and looking and seeing shells drop to the floor and hearing them say things like, if you're scared, don't be, you'll be dead soon. She was 15, and she's just an incredible woman who wants to talk about this, who wants to share. And Honestly, I think that tomorrow's episode is like some of the best work we've done. And I'm really excited for it to come out. And I hate using the words excited because we're
Sure.
talking fucking Columbine.
Yeah.
And, but it was, she did want to share. And so we helped her share.
I love this. Partly because I've been told that I can connect any subject to Bruce, and that's a true statement. But he has a song called Better Days, which was released without the E Street Band during that lost years, like in the 90s. And the lyrics are, "My soul checked out missing as I sat listening to the hours and minutes ticking away. Yeah, just sitting around waiting for my life to begin while it was all just slipping away. I'm tired of waiting for tomorrow to come or that train to come round the bend. I've got a new set of clothes, a pretty red rose, and a woman I can call my friend. These are better days."
Wow.
And to me, the song is, "Too many of us spend our lives, I will be happy when. I'll be happy when I find my partner. I'll be happy when the kids are out of diapers. I'll be happy when I get out of college. I'll be happy when I get that raise." And the reality is, it's the journey. It's the journey. Even the bad part is something. And about 5, 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with colon cancer.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
fine now, but I had to
Great.
go through chemo, had to go, had surgery, had a port, all this chemo. And I kept saying, "These are better days." Even though I'm fighting cancer and everything, because it's easy to have faith. And I don't mean faith as in a god or a deity, but a faith in yourself and life when things are going poorly. It's another thing. Sarah Hickman, who I talked about earlier, has a line that says, one of the lines is, "My mistakes brought me to this place where the flower of where the rose replaced the thorn." And I love it. "My mistakes brought me to this place." Right?
Yeah, Jesse, and that resonates a ton with me because I can't sit around regretting spending 18 years with this woman. And I look at it as I'm lucky to have an opportunity to create my future now. When it first happened, I said my future died, but my future to me was trying to work and accumulate money and retire. I was looking that far ahead of when I could rest and when I could, and that's not even guaranteed.
Yeah.
I could die tomorrow. And if I had not met and married someone who turned out to be my abuser, I might have met and married someone who was just good enough to stay in it for the rest of my life and just have this average little boring life. And
Yeah.
now I learned so much both about me and about relationships. And it's, if I get into a serious relationship again, I know that what I need is a partner, not a girlfriend or a wife. I need someone who gives everything that I give.
Yeah.
And I may not have ever learned that lesson. I may not have ever learned the lesson that I need to prioritize myself. And I honestly think that part of the reason that when I talk about not feeling emotion before, I think that some of that was that I didn't value myself and my emotions. And when you don't value your own emotions, who the hell are you? What are you? And what I ended up doing is not caring about myself. And when I had a wife who was weaponizing her mental health against me, telling me her excuse for everything was that she was depressed, and I just wanted to take care of her. And I felt
Yeah.
like a caretaker, but I never thought about what do I want or what do I need.
Yeah.
And I thought that those lyrics really speak to me because now I know that I matter too.
Yeah. And it is, there are instances where I have had the experience. This is years ago, but I was offered a job. And I was really convinced I was going to take it. And right in the process of me interviewing and everything, my wife's father died very unexpectedly. And so we went to the funeral and did everything. And then a week or so later, I got the job offer. And we talked about it. And I said, I don't know if this is the right time. Because starting a new job, I'll be working a lot. You're going to have to go home to Louisiana to see your mom. You're going to have to help her. Maybe we shouldn't. And so I went to my boss, said, hey, I'm thinking about leaving. And they made a counter offer. And I ended up staying the company another 5 years. And really took my career to a different level. The company that was going to, I went through did not last. It was a startup. It did not last. And we talked about afterwards, you can't say that her dad dying was a good thing. But if he had not passed, I would have taken that job 100%. I would have not cared about the counteroffer. Right. I would have said, no, I want the new shiny toy. I want this. And so it's all our journey is we make decisions. And I had a boss that told me once, he said, Jesse, your problem is you think there's a right answer. And this isn't a video game where if you do the right moves, if you do the pick the correct path, you win. It's just a choice. And you make choice A, things are going to happen, may work out, may not. Choice B, things will happen, may work out, may not. But it doesn't matter. There isn't the quote unquote correct answer. It's just the answer you chose and the life, your journey.
Yeah, absolutely agree with it 100%. And Jesse, I think that you should come on my podcast at some point.
I would love that. I absolutely would love that. I love your perspective
and thank going you. Through I cancer and surviving yeah. that, I think would be the type of topic because we've got people who have been in abusive relationships, but illness is cancer is one that's been in several episodes as well.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. All right. Plug away. Once again, what's the podcast and where can they find it?
All right. Positively Terrible. And it's available pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, which is going away soon, will be replaced with YouTube. Is it going to be the YouTube music app, I think, is where the podcasts are going to live?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much anywhere. Just go search for it. Instagram, Facebook, we are at Positively Terrible. And eventually we'll have a Patreon. If you ever listen and hear our song and decide you want that, and our Patreon happens to be up by then, you'll be able to get the song there. So I better put that up this weekend.
All right. That sounds so good. God, this was fun. I had so much fun. I love your journey. I love your share. And I don't want to be overly sentimental, but everything else she may have done, your wife did give you the gift of music again.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things I always say is she did not take my memories.
Yes.
She did not. Even the shows, the first time I went to Red Rocks to see the Dead South, Deer Tick, and Trampled by Turtles. And then I got a tattoo out there, a music tattoo out there. Those are still my fucking memories. And she was there. I don't care. We had a lot of things that were a good time. And anytime I had a music lyric or a new song and I could text her, that's what I missed the most once we split up.
Yeah.
But it's something that I wouldn't have had without her. And
we're
wrapping up, but don't you have one more question for me?
I do.
Okay.
You can tell you're a good podcast host. Yes. First off, if you are listening to this podcast, because you follow Scott and you listen to his podcast. Thank you for listening. I truly appreciate it. He has made y'all proud. I end every podcast with the Mary question. And what this is, Jay Armstrong, who is a retired honors English teacher. He is now a writer who has had, he would be an excellent guest for you as well. And we will talk about that offline, but he has a chronic illness. And so he can no longer teach, but he's become a writer.
Okay.
But when he was teaching, he would give his students the lyrics to Thunder Road. They would read it as if it was a poem and talk about the imagery that Bruce is exploring. Talk about the themes of the song. And then he would ask his class, does Mary get in the car at the end of the song? Scott, that is your question. Does Mary get in the car?
All right. So first, I'm going to say, no way. I'm taking a strong stance on this. I listened to it. I pulled up the lyrics. And I'm going to say this, and you're going to ask me again, Scott, why don't you like Bruce? Why haven't you become a fan of Bruce? Because I love storytelling and music. I love when I can visualize. And holy shit, these lyrics are, you said like a poem? Hell yes. These are great fucking lyrics. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. God, I love that. I think that's great. At that point, I'm thinking, yes, she's getting in the car with him. And then I keep reading and keep listening. I say listen, reading. I listened, but I sometimes struggle to pick up lyrics when I listen.
Sure.
So it's more the reading. And as I'm reading, I'm getting back and I'm seeing, I feel some of the things that he's saying in there. He says he's can't face himself alone again. That sounds desperate.
Yeah.
And then he says, you ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right. She knows her worth. She, if you're going to say she's not a beauty, she's going to say, no, but she's also got bills to pay and a life to live. And as much as I'm here living a new life after my old life died and I'm taking more chances and I'm doing things, to me, he sounds like someone who's living in a fantasy, who hasn't quite grown up yet and is saying, hey, come take a chance with me when I don't know what she's got going on, but she's got a life and she doesn't have to settle for someone who's desperate and lonely and straight up to her face is saying, you ain't a beauty. So I am saying she's not getting in that car.
About 50% of my guests say, no, she doesn't.
Okay.
The other 50% say yes. I get a small little percentage. I realize it's 50-50, but there is a small percentage of people that say, we won't know. Like the whole purpose of the song is not knowing.
You know what? If I'd known you'd let me get away with that, I'd have said, there's not enough information here.
Okay. Yeah. One of my favorite answers is someone said, if it's the band playing it, she absolutely gets in the car because it's this triumphant song. When it's him solo, nope, she's not getting in the car.
And that's the great part about music.
It is, yes.
It really is. But right. And it does. It sounds big and exciting. I like the feel that you get, the vibe that you get from it. And it's a great lyrics and everything. And as soon as I heard and saw that you ain't a beauty, I'm like, nah, she deserves someone that's telling her she is a beauty.
Absolutely. That is often spoke, and to defend our narrator, which is not Bruce, I say that in my mind canon that she often talks bad about herself. I'm not that pretty. I'm not. And so he is saying he is meeting that objection in advance. I know you say you aren't a beauty, but hey, you're all right. And I'm no hero either. My wife thinks that she doesn't get in the car because he called her ugly and that he's saying you should settle.
Yeah.
And that I absolutely love your answer. That is great.
Well,
right.
And I will say before you just totally wrap it up.
Yeah.
Is that there's a part of me too that was looking at it as you ain't a beauty, maybe meaning, hey, we're getting old and just realizing that you ain't 22 anymore. We're not these two hot kids at this point of our lives. So that I can understand the other perspective as well.
And he does say we aren't that young anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So have a little faith. There's magic in the night. All right, Scott, this was a blast. I absolutely would love to be on your podcast.
All
All
right.
right, so your assignment is to send me 10 to 12 songs that I'm going to listen. I'm going to pick 10 or 12 for you that are Bruce songs that you may not have heard of, and we'll have you back on a couple of months and we'll have fun talking about each other's song list. How's that sound?
Okay. That sounds great to me. I love talking about music, so I think
Absolutely.
that's great.
All right. Are you on any social media?
Yeah, for me personally, I've got at Terrible Scott, and that's really just Instagram is all I'm
Okay.
on personally. I
All
do
right.
have a Facebook, but that's more of a private Facebook.
I got you. All right. Listeners, go check out the podcast. Check out some episodes. Send them a little love. Go to iTunes, rate and review. It really does make a difference to us. I will tell you, when I see a new review on iTunes, it makes my whole day.
Yeah, for
So
sure.
please do that. All right, Scott, thank you for spending time with me. This was so much fun.
Yeah, I
Listen,
loved it.
yeah, I'm glad. And we didn't even get to your Catch 22 poster. I meant to ask you about that, but I'm going to save that for next time.
Or Jesse, the tattoo as well is
Yeah, very cool. All
well.
right, we're going to cover that next time.
All right,
For
sounds good.
you listeners, please be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. I'm about to name some people who help me keep this podcast going. They are the wonderful members of my Patreon group. I appreciate each of them. You can learn how to be a patron by going to patreon.com, look for Setlusting Bruce, and for a little as $5 a month, you can support the podcast and get access to unedited episodes. And as little a dollar a month, you get a handwritten thank you note from me and a shout out at least once a month thanking you in an episode. So, Sean, David and Jennifer, Jeff, Sylvan, Liz, Yetta, Steve, Coach Randy, Rob, Bella, John, Betsy, Levi, Liz, Stephen, and Steve, Dale, Terry, Chris, and Mary. All of you are amazing, and thank you for being part of this wonderful group. You know I love you.
You just heard the fun talking, hard rocking, music loving, album ranking, fan thanking, joy spreading, lyric reading, story sharing podcast that is the one, the only, Setlusting Bruce. The theme for Setlusting Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.